how great it is that today is another day of grace and mercy. We have a gracious God that offers mercy to each of us. And even in the songs that we sang, it says, He leads us. He doesn't just let us alone, but He's there for us to follow. How wonderful it is that we have such a God that, knowing what each of us is, yet extends His mercy to us. And He says that, I love you. I want you to be with me eternally. And I have made a way that this is possible. In the Garden of Eden, after the fall of Adam and Eve, I made the promise. The prophets have prophesied about this for thousands of years. Roughly 2,000 years ago, my son Jesus was manifested on this earth, the promised one. I have fulfilled my promise. I have sent you a Redeemer and a Savior. I have made it possible that you can come to heaven. I have made the unrighteous righteous. I have robed you in a white robe. I look around here and I said, I don't see many white robes actually, but if my eyes were perfect, if they had been perfected, I could see the white robes that you are clothed in. What a promise we have. What a hope we have. What an assurance we have in the Word of God. That He has performed that which is needed for you and for me. Thus said, grace from the God of grace and peace from the Prince of peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit be with each of you here this morning and with God's children throughout the world. Amen. This morning, we're going to turn into Luke for the text. Luke 23. And before I even read the text, I'm going to say, why? Who puts these together? The readings. Wouldn't it be so much nicer that Advent is just about here. Let's talk about the birth of this little child. So sweet, so pure. Today is known as Christ the King. It's the Feast of Christ the King. Now, and I said, okay, well, where did this come about? Well, this actually was instituted in 1925 through the Roman Catholic Church. Yet it's now, it's done by just about all churches. This is the culmination of, just about the culmination of Jesus' work on this earth. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent, where it is we're talking about the coming of this Messiah. So Luke 23:27 on through, I can't even remember where, 27 through 43. And we'll read these in Jesus' name. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they do in a dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also is written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is everlasting truth. Amen. Surely a solemn text. A text that in a way doesn't bring joy to our hearts, but sorrow. The text tells us that after all that Christ had gone through, he had gone through the scourging, he'd gone through the trials and accusations and the false crown being put on his head, and said he was led out, and a crowd followed him, a great company of people, including women. And he looks on Jesus, after going through all he's gone through, still looks on him and says, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Don't weep because of what's happening to me. But know this, that the days are going to come when you will be weeping for yourselves. You will be lamenting the death of children. You will be lamenting the hunger that you're going to be going through. 37 years approximately after this, Jerusalem was taken over and destroyed by the Romans. Is this what Jesus is talking about? It very well could be, and very well was. The destruction of Jerusalem and what it went through. This was what Jesus had foretold in Matthew 24. He told his people, he said, his disciples said, hey, look at this great temple, the stones that are lift. This is huge. And he says, know this, that it's the day's coming when all of this will be torn down. It'll be destroyed. And they couldn't believe it. I mean, this is a massive structure. Yet history tells us this is exactly what happened. You go to Jerusalem today and you'll see the remnants of walls, but the temple is gone. The Jews gather on the around the Wailing Wall, which is just a remnant. A beautiful sight, a very touching thing. But the temple was torn down. It's not permanent. Or is Jesus talking about something else? Is he talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord? That day when the final judgment is going to take place. And some will say, Lord, we have done all these good things for you. We've fed you. We gave you food. We gave you drink. And he says, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. And others say to him, when did we do these things for you? When did we feed you? When did we give you drink? When did we clothe you? And he said, when you did this to the least of my brethren. Come, welcome to your home, to your eternal home. The destruction of Jerusalem happened. And there was wailing in that there, that what are they going to do? Thousands died, and others were taken into captivity. That's historically a fact. The other one, the day of judgment, that is yet to come. But it is there. It is there to be, and it will happen. And even in those days, there will be those that are hoping that mountains would fall onto them and cover them, because then they would be hidden from the wrath of God. But dear children, as children of God, you have received your absolution already. You have received your judgment. I'm guilty. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. So the fear of that day should not exist in you. The fear of death is, I think, is in all of us. None of us want to die. So many say that I want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die to get there. We will die. We will die on this earth. Even talking about that, I mean, just now, last week, Elmi Olsen Olden passed away. Suffered for years with cancer. There was always the hope that she was going to be okay. But she passed away. We hope that none of us have that type of a cancer, that type of a pain. But all of us, at one day, will die unless Jesus comes and receives us before then. Jesus told them, he said, listen, you see what they're doing to me. I'm a green tree. I'm the Son of God. I am God. And they're doing this to me. Imagine how they'll treat you. And then he goes on and says that along with him there were two others, two malefactors, two sinners. They were led with Jesus to the place of Calvary. To be put to death in the same manner as Jesus was. Hung on that cross. Hung on that tree. You wonder, why does it say in the Bible that cursed is anyone that's hung on a tree. So it is. He took that curse on himself. It was hung on the tree. One of the malefactors was on the right hand of Jesus, the other on the left. So many times, quite often in there, they talk about the sheep are on one side, the goats are on the other. Here, this malefactor is on this on the right, this one's on the left. And here, Jesus shows his compassion for you and for me. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that I am the Son of God. I am God. And to fulfill the prophecies, they cast lots for his raiment. Instead of ripping it apart, they cast lots. Who will win this lot? And then each of us stood there saying, if you're the Son of God, if you are God, save yourself. Save yourself. What if Jesus had done that? What if Jesus had said, even like in the during his temptation, the 40 days in the wilderness and his temptation, what if Jesus here also had, I'm God and I can do this. I can save myself. I can have the angels come down and save me from the cross. He would not have fulfilled the dictates that were set up for the way of salvation to be completed. For it said that a righteous man, someone totally without sin, must pay for your sin and mine. We remember how even in the garden, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, Father, if there be any other way, any way that this could be accomplished without me being crucified, me being forsaken by you. Asked three times, and there was no other way. He had to go through, and so he willingly went on to that cross. And then we come to that part that we so like, the one where one of the malefactors says, just save us, save us. If you're God, save me and save yourself while you're doing it too. The other one reminds me like the publican that are the Pharisee and the publican that are praying in the temple. This one says, I deserve what I'm going through. But this man, he tells the other, this man is righteous. He doesn't deserve this. But you and I, we deserve this. And he turns to Jesus and says, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus' words are this. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. Not sometime in the future, but today. I as God control time. Today, your reward is here. how wonderful it is that we have a God that makes this promise that today you can be with me in paradise. We look at ourselves and we say, how can this be? How can this be? I mean, I'm unworthy. But Jesus came here to perfect you. His work is to perfect you. He took your sins and mine and blotted them out. He says, we're not perfect, but we're perfected. You can look at yourself as being perfected children of God, a child of God. You are, each of you are children of the Heavenly Father. Some of the simple songs like that are so blessed in a way if we can accept them for our hearts, for ourselves. A child of the Father. But then we wonder, who is this being Christ the King? That who is this King? In Psalms, there's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 24. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is this King of glory. Viewed on that cross, he was just about a failure. Man looking at him said he failed. The devil looking at him said I won. But no, the devil lost. The game is over. The King of glory is coming. He's coming in power and glory when he comes this time. In Advent season, we think about the birth of Jesus. His second coming is in power. That is what the Advent that we're really waiting for. And here's this thing that we all feel our humanness, our frailties, our sorrows, our failures. We have health issues. We have, you name it, all kinds of issues. Those are going to be gone. Those are bound to us here with loose cords. But they're all going to be gone. Perfect bodies. What they're going to be like, we don't know. But they will be perfect. Sorrows will be all gone. This is what awaits us. And all we have to do is follow after Jesus. If you get too tired, he'll carry you. He'll lift you in his arms and carry you. We have this hope. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Amen. Father, we ask that We ask that the words would be words of encouragement, giving us that hope to carry on for another day, for today. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May he lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.